Greetings, this is Nigeria, and you're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com. I have Miss Tony on the line, and she is a phenomenal key player. I've known her personally, and I just had the blessing of my life by going to her school to see a play that you directed and wrote it.
Yes, ma'am. Wrote it, directed it, produced it, and choreographed.
Yes, and the play was called Colorblind. I mean, oh my goodness. Miss Tony, introduce yourself. Tell the people what school you're at now and how you came up with the idea for this wonderful play. You guys really got to see it.
Thank you so much. Well, my full name is Antoinette Saunders, and I am a middle school teacher at a school that recently opened, but still fairly new, called One World Middle School, and we're housed in the John Philip Sousa building on Baychester Avenue. And basically, long story short, I had originally resigned from the Department of Ed because I was a little fed up with the way things were going, and administration and I actually did not get along very well. So I felt, you know, 7 was the number of completion, and it was my 7th year at that school, and I felt it was time to bring things to a close and move on. So a really good friend of mine who went through the Teaching Fellows program with me, and that's how she and I met. We both became teachers. She moved on to become an AP, and then she
What's
and
an AP? Don't go talking school educational language.
Oh, my bad, boo, my bad. AP is an assistant principal.
Okay.
And so she was an assistant principal for quite some time, and she had talked to me about the possibility of her opening up her own school.
Amen.
And if she decided to do so, would I come and work with her and for her? And I said, absolutely. Mm. So at the time that she opened the school, I had already officially resigned from the DOE. So that actually worked out in my favor. So when she got her ball up and rolling, she called me and said, Tony, would you please? I'm ready for you to come back. Like, I'm opening up the school. So I said, absolutely. Went and did whatever I needed to do paperwork-wise and wound up going back into the school. And she knows that I'm from the arts. So that's how this came into play. She really allows me to take the arts and run with it. So many of our kids are so talented, and I realize that the school is so unbalanced because everything is so academic and there's no arts department, there's no recreational piece. So
yes,
I try to bring the artistic side to the school. And every year we do a Black History Month show. And this year, it's weird how I came up with this show. I was actually at City Island sitting in my car waiting for the Johnny's to open up at the very end. And I was listening to John P. Key's Colorblind. The song was playing. And I said, that's it. It just dropped in my spirit. I said, that's it. That's going to be the name of this year's show.
Wow.
So I created the show around the song.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the blessing and the favor. It's so much going on right there. Favor with the principal, the song, and just how powerful songs are to minister. And I mean, it's just without question that there was simply an anointing on the show. We're going to try to bring this play one more time and again so people can come out and see these children. Parents should be proud of these kids. It was like a Broadway play, their performance. Simply flawless. I got to sit next to your dad and cheer you on. And you were phenomenal. Nice little part. You didn't take the kids. And I mean, it was just really, really a great play. Tell me, what did it take? And you mentioned something really great, that the arts are just not in the school. And from seeing that play, what is it, DOE, Department of Education, put some arts program money back into the schools. Took prayer out, took the music out. I mean, that's why these kids running around wild. Okay, I don't want to digress.
Because it's so easy.
Yeah, because I feel myself going there. But talk about how these children, because it was a dynamic play, and it took a lot of remembering roles, a lot of choreography.
Yeah.
Just in training them, how easy or complicated it was, and express their enthusiasm. So we can encourage parents to help us get arts back in the school. Their enthusiasm for rehearsal, their enthusiasm to remember their lines. If you could just elaborate.
Absolutely. So just to rewind a little bit, we had what you call, I did a Christmas or holiday extravaganza in December,
mm-hmm.
which I remember, I think, briefly talking to you about and was hoping that you could make it, but something happened and you were unable to attend that. But prior to that, all my shows, the very first show that I did, I hand-selected the children because I could see from interacting with them who had the talent to do certain things, who were my dancers, who were my singers, my actors. So the very first performance that I put on is really what sparked everything. Right after that very first Black History Month show that we put on, which was the very first one that I had ever done in the school, the kids said to me, "Miss Tony, we didn't know that you could do all of that, and why don't you have a dance troupe, and how many times are we going to rehearse, and can I be in the next show?" So they were already asking for 2012 Black History Month show, and we hadn't even finished 2011 Black History Month show. So the kids, they love it. They love the opportunity to get up there on stage and show what they can do.
Mm.
And my rehearsals, again, because I come from a very disciplined arts background,
mm-hmm.
I'm very strict about certain things. I'm very strict about punctuality. So I try to teach them what it is to be committed, what it is to be on time, and what it is to follow them through. I have a lot of kids that say they want to, but when they get there and see the logistics of how a rehearsal runs, they kind of, "Oh, Miss Tony, I can't make it." No, you made a commitment, and you're going to follow through.
Oh,
and because I have such a passion for it, I think it spills out onto the children.
Absolutely.
And when they perform and get the standing ovations that we've received in the past, they look at me and they're like, "Miss Tony, we did it.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
"Yes, you did it."
Right.
"You absolutely did it." And all that hard work pays off. So now that they have a taste of what hard work and dedication and loyalty and faithfulness to a project in general is about, they attack me with, like, "I know what it takes, Miss Tony, and I'm ready to do it. We know that you become a different person when you're rehearsing, and we're ready because we've seen your shows."
Wow.
And we look at it, and they've said to me, "We know you don't put nonsense on the stage."
I love it. Out of the mouths of babes.
So I was like, "You're right. I don't put nonsense on the stage. So I hope when you come to me, you're ready." They're like, "We're ready."
Yeah.
So year before last, we had the pleasure of performing for the Community Education Council, CEC, for District 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we represented our school, got a standing ovation from the superintendent. Like, it was just phenomenal.
Right.
So God willing, we will have that same opportunity again this year in May to perform for the district. And we've already been asked to do the Black History Month show again.
Amen.
For May, so I'm very excited about that. But the kids are excited about the arts because they like the end product.
That's
good. Like I said to you the day of the show, the involvement of parents is so important because that house should have been filled that night. There should have been standing room only.
Right. I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
For parents to come out and see what their children can do and what the last 6 or 8 weeks of rehearsals have been all about. This is what we've been doing. This is what you've allowed me to do with your child
for
the last 8 weeks. And I hope that, you know, I thank you for trusting me with your child and children, but you need to come out and support what they're doing. And I can't stress that enough.
Okay, parents. Because you have to get the okay for them to stay after school and do the rehearsal. How dare you guys don't come out on that day, you know? Come out. Okay, I don't want to digress again.
Okay, right, okay, reel it in, come on back.
Okay. No, but, I mean, okay, we're talking about the parents, but you know who really showed up? Fellow students. And
yes,
I was floored at the support of their peers. And I think that was just as great of a support. But, of course, everybody wants to see a relative outside, because I grew up in a time where schools had plays, music departments, and arts. So I remember doing a play, and my parents were late, and I was looking out, and I did not see them. And just before my part, I saw them scurrying in, and I was so happy. I did my lines great. So yes, parents, it's very important for you guys to show up. Tell us more about your passion to continue on with doing this, and what kind of help would you need?
Well, obviously, as long as I remain an active part of the Department of Ed, I would love to continue to contribute the arts aspect to it in any way that I possibly can. So my principal, like I said, she has given me a lot of leeway and a lot of wiggle room for me to kind of just do what I do organically. so my hands are not tied as to the things that I can do. I would love to eventually at one point in my life, I dreamed of opening up I was trying to open up a gym, because I'm also into the health aspect as well. So certified aerobics trainer and personal trainer and, you know, all of those things. So I wanted to incorporate in a gym with a facility that also offered the arts, especially the dancing and the karate discipline things that our children need. So I don't know if at some point I can take my concept of just the arts in general, and even if I could bounce like from school to school as a director of the performing arts and get programs set up where we interview and audition people that have the artistic background that I feel can bring what it is that I'm looking for to the table for these kids to really take what they're learning and excel. Because out here in the real world, so many of these kids want to be dancers.
Right.
So many of these kids want to be rappers. So many of these kids want to write plays and want to be on Broadway. And they have no taste or idea as to what the competition is really like out here.
Amen. Amen.
So I believe in challenging our kids. I don't make it easy for them. I always try to push them till they can't go any further, take them out of that comfort zone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Really push them to the limits so that when they do face real competition, it can become a breeze.
And how do you feel about, you know, American Idol, The Voice? How do you feel about those kind of programs, and what do you feel the influence is on our children?
You know, it's sad to say, but our kids are living in a world of nothing but reality shows and you know, TV has become their life. And I feel like it's some of those shows, like The Voice, I don't watch that show very often, but I was an avid watcher of American Idol.
Okay.
And I was really watching it when Fantasia and Ruben Studdard were
mm-hmm.
on the show at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt those two individuals, along with Jennifer Hudson, those were people that the kids could relate to
right.
because they were like them.
Mm.
And I, you know what I mean? So I feel like if our kids see more of people that look like them making a way that appears to be out of no way, then that gives them some sense of hope. And I think they need to see more realistic figures and role models in front of them.
Right.
Realistic.
Right. Well, you are doing a phenomenal job. You are a phenomenal woman. I told you, I will definitely be doing all I can on my end, because I want everyone to see your work. I think you need to be on Broadway. Maybe we need to take the kids on Broadway. So if there's any directors from Broadway listening to this, if there's a philanthropist, we are in need of your help to really do a great benefit for these children. Can you tell them the age range that you're working with?
Yeah, I work from grade 6 to 8, so our kids range anywhere between the ages of like 11 and 14,
mm-hmm.
15, the oldest, considering their, you know, particular situations, but anywhere between 11 and like 14.
Wow.
And I work with 6, 7, and 8, and I also teach spoken word to 6, 7, and 8. And I was teaching 7th grade math last year, so I wear quite a few hats in the building.
Okay, yes you do. Yes you
quite
do.
A few hats.
Wow. And give us a little bit about your background, because you danced at one point as well.
Yeah.
So the let me let y'all know, her choreography was off the chain, okay? So, you know, we talked about the kids, but let me just, for the last few minutes we have, just let the people really know who you are and a little more of your background and why you're so dedicated and able to transfer what you have onto these wonderful children.
Okay, well, I started dancing at the age of 6. As a matter of fact, I was in elementary school, and this program from the Harlem School of the Arts was, at that time, our school was the pilot school. So what we started doing was attending that school twice a week, and they gave us the option of either taking dance, or music, chorus, art, theater. We had quite a few choices presented before us, and my heart, automatically, I went to the dancing area.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to take ballet. I took ballet for about 8 or 9 years. And when the program was done with the school and I officially graduated from the school, I continued to attend Harlem School of the Arts, and I received a scholarship for the dance program and the dance department teaching.
Wow. And see, that was because why? There was art programs and music programs when
yes.
you were growing up. Okay.
Absolutely.
Just wanted to get that in. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So I continued to attend the Harlem School of the Arts. When I got out of elementary school, like I said, they offered me a scholarship. so I was able to continue to take classes at the school. I also took drama there for about 8 years. I was at Harmon School of the Arts for many, many, almost 27 years.
Wow.
And then I was under the direction of Philip Filiato, which was my ballet instructor. And then a woman by the name of Frances A. Rimes came to the school, and she brought the jazz and the tap and the ethnic aspect to the dance department. And I, in turn, left the ballet and went to those three classes with her. Mm-hmm. And then I continued to train with her for about, oh boy, maybe 11 years after that. And I even did a little stint at Dance Theater of Harlem for a little bit.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was all over the place because dancing was my passion. And the discipline that we learned in that class are things that I was able to transfer into the classroom, being focused, being on task, not being distracted, working quickly, grasping concepts, remembering things. So the two of them worked hand in hand as far as I was concerned. Then if, you know, my dance teacher said, bring us your report card. If your report cards are not looking a certain way, you won't be in the upcoming, you know, recitals that we have at the end of the year at Aaron Davis Hall.
Wow.
We had for many years. And she was an advocate for education. And if your grades were not where they needed to be, dancing was a recreation. It wasn't a necessity.
Mm.
And she made that very clear. So it's a privilege to be here. And you have to earn your spot and keep your spot here by doing A, B, and C. So because dancing was a passion for my fellow dancers, school was easy breezy because
right.
we know where we wanted to be and what we wanted to do.
Amen. I mean, that is great. What some of these kids need is just an outlet that has a discipline training underscore, not only discipline in behavior or the concepts or but also in discipline and knowing that you have to excel in every area.
Absolutely.
When you excel, it complements everything.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Good behavior complements everything. Attitude.
Yes.
You know, it's important to have disciplines in your life. What I witness is just pure demonstration of commitment and follow through, as you mentioned. And it was just great to see these kids. Girl, when I come into some money, I'm going to open you up your own school because you are well deserved to have your own school your own arts program.
Bless you so much. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you came.
Yeah.
That you had an opportunity to see what the kids are doing and what I'm able to get done with our kids because our kids can do it and their attitude governs their altitude. And that's exactly what I stress that all the time. Your attitude will govern your altitude. So let's get the attitude in check.
Amen. And I mean, it's good in the urban community because all they need is someone to believe in them and say, you can do it.
Absolutely.
Miss Toni, yeah. Thank you so much, man. I'm just, you know, it's some more stuff got to happen. There's some more stuff got to happen.
We're going to make it happen. We're definitely going to make it happen.
Yeah.
One student at a time.
That's right. Ooh, I like that. Yes. How can people get in touch with you? Because someone's probably saying, ooh, I need her over here, and I'm not trying to stretch you out, but hey, you know, this is what we do, you know.
Well, they can definitely contact me in my email, which is asaunders, A-S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S, at owms.org. That is my school email address where it's just info. So I have tons of space so they can just email me there.
Okay.
Leave a name or a number or whatever, a forwarding number, and I'll gladly get back to them if I can be of any assistance.
Excellent. Thank you again. I really appreciate you, sis.
Thank you so much, Nigeria. I really appreciate the time that you took. I really do.
You're more than welcome.